Christ Climbed Down is a 1958 poem railing against the holiday that has been going on outside these doors and concludes today. The first line is, Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no rootless Christmas trees. The poem pillories everything about commercial Christmas that will never lead anyone to faith in Christ crucified. So Christ comes down from the bare tree of the cross to get us. It's Christmas, 1986. The children's Christmas program is practicing. Phyllis comes from a difficult home and is a problem child. She wants nothing to do with the pageant, but still has to sit through practice. During dress rehearsal, she suddenly appears in the manger scene and, after sticking her hand roughly into the manger, proclaims, "It's just a doll. I felt it." The night of the pageant comes, Phyllis is quietly sitting next to her teacher till she wasn't. She stomped her way right up to the manger just as she had during the rehearsal. But this time she stiffened, awestruck, then turned her eyes wide with wonder and came hurrying back to her teacher. Unbeknownst to Phyllis, a newborn was used for the actual performance. "He's alive," she said in a whisper that wasn't. Like ripples in a pond, the word passed from pew to pew all the way to the back of the sanctuary. "He's alive, alive, alive." Christ came down indeed. Unlike Drummer Boy and Poinsettia Boy, all is not lost if you have no gift to give Christ this morning. All is truly lost when we lose a direct encounter with Christ, human and divine, in the manger, on the cross, at the resurrection, or in the Lord's Supper. All is lost if we think God being born in a manger was something that happened a long time ago, a past event that has no present significance or future reality. Remember how your dad would say, "I'll stop this car and come back there and I'll show you how to behave." Well, Christ Jesus climbs down off the cross, out of the empty tomb, and into today by word and sacrament to show you what it means to have a flesh and blood God. Old calendars label today as the Feast of the Incarnation. We all know that refers to God the Son taking on flesh and blood in the Virgin's womb. But the livingness of it doesn't touch us. Historically, the church has bowed her head at the point she confesses and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And historically, she has kneeled before his presence in bread and wine at the communion altar. But still, that reality seems ephemeral, fanciful, chimerical even. This will help. The English incarnation is related to the Italian incarnadino, which means flesh color, baby skin, baby rosiness, freshness. That pops Christmas into present reality. He's alive, alive, alive. That is a thought hard to live with. Full disclosure, this is the opposite of what Norman Mailer really says in a novel. He has a CIA operative say, "I felt as if it was really Christmas, even in Uruguay. I had the epiphany I always wait for as December descends into its climatic week. That feeling so hard to live without most of the year, the conviction that he may really be near." No. At Christmas, the thought that God may be near, may be alive, that's tolerable to most people. But God's close up are hard to bear the rest of the year. Both Zechariah and Mary are afraid when God's angel steps into their reality. The shepherds are sore afraid. Jesus is the light of the world, but when that light becomes focused in the flesh and blood of one man, that's intense. That's a laser. That's being at the transfiguration. That's falling on your face and being exceedingly afraid. That's peeing in your pants fear. Why? Because the light of light exposes everything. There's not one thing that you've ever thought, said, or did that is hidden from that light. That's what Hebrews 4 verse 13 says. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Night Court was a totally forgettable late 80s, early 90s TV show. One episode, though, had the judge sentence a vulgar, insulting, shock comedian to do his routine in the full light of the courtroom. He tries, but he can't. People are embarrassed to laugh at his crudity, and he flushes with shame. Christ climbed down today, but is he a little too close for comfort? I tell the story of fishing in Louisiana when the boy in another boat is pleading for his dad to bring the shark on the line into their boat. The father obliges, but sharks out of the water just keep on thrashing and biting. The boy's pleas to bring the shark on board quickly turned into, get it away, throw it back. Well, Does he's alive, become he's too close. But Christ climbs down as a baby. A baby, anything is approachable. Disgusting possums, ugly coyotes are not off-putting, let alone frightening, but attracting when young. The shepherds were sent to Bethlehem to a baby, not an industrial laser. They go to the manger, not the transfiguration when you need comfort. Luther, writing to his wife Katie from the place he would die, knew she was worried. So he wrote, "Free me from your worries. I have a caretaker who is better than you and all the angels. He lies in the cradle and rests on the Virgin's bosom." This is where we want to end up today. This is whom we want to go home with today. And doing so is linked to the word keep. A 1947 Christmas article says, "And we, the faithful, humble in the glory of the Incarnation, we do not say that we spend Christmas. We do not say that we pass Christmas. We keep Christmas." Now that sounds great, but that's straight from Scrooge. Actually, it's from Dickens. The third last sentence in A Christmas Carol is, "And it was always said of him, Scrooge, that he knew how to keep Christmas well." Fellow Englander C.S. Lewis comments on how Dickens kept Christmas. Quote, even more significant is the absence from Dickens' Christmas Carol of any interest in the Incarnation. Mary, the Magi, and the angels are replaced by spirits of his own invention. The reality is that true Christmas must keep us. And it does so by Christ climbing out of the manger and into our life, or more accurately, into our shoes. Don't just see the Godhead veiled in flesh. See him living life under God's laws, all the God's laws that he gave to humanity. While we fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things every single day of our life, Jesus did that without fail. While we misuse God's holy name without even thinking about it, Jesus always uses it to pray, praise, and give thanks, and called on it in every time of trouble. While we think it a chore to hear God's word, while we think, well, I know that, The Word made flesh held preaching and the Word of God sacred and gladly heard and learned it. Need I go on? How about to the sixth commandment? This is a laser light that exposes the sore spot of every human heart. Jesus didn't fall, didn't trip, didn't even stumble here as we do. Though tempted in all the ways we are, Jesus sinned in none of the disgusting ways that we do. Christ climbed up out of the manger, into our shoes, and then up onto the cross. Even on Christmas itself, this is where it's all headed. The shepherds were told that this day in the city of David, their Savior is born. You can't save sinners apart from suffering. Not too many days from now, Simeon is going to tell Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. That means one will pierce Jesus first. And we know that because we sing it at Christmas. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. It's no poetic picture, but reality. When one author writes that the babe of Bethlehem turned in the sleep of that hallowed night his pure pale face toward Gethsemane. Thoughts like this are not Christmas downers, killers, or humbugs. This is the Christian's Christmas. This is why we are celebrating. Not that a baby is born, but God is born to save us. All and to save flesh and blood sinners, he needed flesh and blood. I already told you how incarnate is related to the Italian for flesh color. It's also related to the word blood. And it's the answer to Lady Macbeth's cry of out damned spot. It's found in the scene when her husband cries out in his torment. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood, cleanse from my hand? No, this my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red. Macbeth says, rather than the ocean washing his hand of the king's blood, his blood-red hand will turn all the green oceans red. Lady Macbeth enters at this point and says, in effect, my hands are as red as yours, but I would be ashamed if my heart were as pale and weak. There's the rub. Some people need no more of Christmas than a year-end celebration of goodwill among men, food, fun, presents, and parties. For them, Christ need not have come down into the manger by means of a virgin's womb. He need not have climbed out of that manger to live their lives. He need not have climbed up on the cross to die their guilty death or climbed down again into water, words, bread, and wine to cleanse their blood-red souls. But for those who know real guilt, for those who know their sinners more than sands upon the ocean floor, and that all the water and all the oceans won't wash them clean, they need real Christmas. This goes back to Macbeth saying his bloody hand will make the multitudinous seas incarnadine rather than wash them. Incarnadine is an English word, and it's the word for bright crimson or pinkish red color. It travels from Latin by way of Italian and French into English, where we get incarnate. So when we're talking incarnation, we're talking blood. We don't want a bloodlust Christianity, but neither do we want a bloodless. We need a God who incarnated himself in pink skin with red blood coursing through his veins in order to redeem us lost and condemned creatures. That's what we celebrate today. Christ came down incarnated by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary. Christ came down to go up on the cross to die, but Christ came down from that bare tree to give us his flesh and blood to our flesh and blood, to keep us rooted in heaven's eternal celebration rather than earth's passing holiday. Amen. We continue.